Hello and welcome to A Bird Count Wonderland. It is not an Arsenal podcast, but is it? It's a radio show and it's live. First of all, everybody gather round. We need a moment's peace for poor old Chris Carpenter. He's died. Well, he's got a headache. He's acting like he's fucking dead. He's not actually dead. He's got a bit of PMT. He gets his hair dyed a girly colour and now he's having PMT. Carl, this looks like it's just you and me.
Two fat boys. That's good.
Yeah, when we started, when we first met, he said earlier today, about half hour ago, you're right, Danny. I went, no, I'm fat and bald. I didn't even mention I had a poorly bum. How are you?
I'm happy. We won, Danny. I'm happy.
It does make a fucking change. I looked through the records. That is the first time we've won at home since 1984. Who knew?
I was 1 year old.
And I was, this time, 1984, I'd have been 13. I was just going to St. Peter's Secondary School. Oh, I loved secondary school. Yeah, what was your thoughts on the game? Do you want to break it down into halves? I've got one piece of paper here. The first half had more on it than the second half because I was in a better mood the second half because we were doing all right. So, yeah, do you want to go through what your thoughts on the first half of the game? And then we'll go through the individual bits after.
Yeah, no worries. The first half was slow. It didn't seem to kick off. Nothing seemed to happen. We were chasing the game. We seemed to be doing the right things, but the end product was really, really bad. We never seemed to do... We've done the Arsenal thing, which is not put the ball in the back of the net. All the nice things we do brilliantly, you know, pass, pass, pass. But when it comes to putting the ball in the back of the net, we just couldn't do it for some unknown reason. We came out in the second half. And we played much better. It's almost like we raised the tempo a little bit. And Arsene Wenger, whatever he said to them in the dressing room, worked because we came out wanting to win the game. And that's what happened. We managed to actually put the ball in the back of the net, pass the ball a little bit faster and pass the ball forward rather than to the side, which is always annoying. So I'm happy about that. So, yes, at the end of the day, we got the win and that's good.
Right, looking through the my few notes that I've made, because if I don't make notes and it just ends up me talking about my bowel movements and my missing tooth, I've got an appointment the 27th of April, people. They're going to dig the tooth out. Unfortunately, I went on YouTube and had a look at broken tooth extraction. Fucking hell. You don't want to do that if you're going to go to the dentist anytime soon. Oh, I'm scared. And then they're going to put a bridge on it, so the offspring's going to come down with me. Right, a couple of changes during the game from the last starting 11. I think the only one was Martinez, who's playing his fifth Premier League game ever. He had a run of four games, not last season, but one before that. And I think we drew one, he won two, and then we lost to Man United, but he kept a couple of clean sheets. So he's been outstanding playing for the reserves, the youths. I'm never sure what to call them because there's under-21s and under-23s and under-8. No, there's no 21s. It's 23 and 18 now and under-18. And so when he has been playing for them, I always thought, wow, what a really good keeper. He's 24 years old, and that's the time when a goalkeeper does really need first-team games. And the other... difference from the starting 11 was Gabriel coming in at centre back for Koz, and also it was nice that we actually played a half with a captain, because apparently the last game I saw people talking about it and they said, who was captain? I said, I really don't know. Good job I didn't make it up like I usually do and lie and go, oh yeah, it's definitely so and so. Perry Groves was captain. He sat on the bench. Yeah, so what was your initial thoughts on Martinez? What did you think of him before, and what did you think of his performance tonight?
I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit scared. You know, the third choice goalkeeper. And when you hear saying that a third choice goalkeeper is going to play, you obviously do get a bit worried because he's a third choice for a reason. But to be honest, looking at him today, he played well. I thought he'd done well. I mean, any time you keep a clean sheet, you have to say you've done really well. So congratulations to him. He didn't have, to be honest, that much to do. I can only remember maybe one or two saves he's had to make. But at the end of the day, he's a third choice goalkeeper who's playing at home, and he's kept a clean sheet, so you've got to give him praise and congratulations to him.
No, oh, you're breathing. You're breathing. I'm not looking at you. I'm just looking at the website, trying to get out the information about how many shots on goal we had. Right, carry on.
I was happy that Cock didn't play. Sorry, Chris.
I think Cock might have been happy that Cock wasn't playing.
I was extremely happy he didn't play. Very, you know, I just don't think he adds anything to our team. He's just a limited player. Gabriel coming in, I guess it was the obvious choice, but I still have to wonder how fit or unfit is Per Mertesacker. I mean, I can understand why he didn't play, because him and Mustafi are kind of almost the same, so I can kind of understand. But even Gabriel today, I thought he played really well. I don't know if it's because West Ham played so poorly, he made Gabriel look good, but
we didn't look good against West Ham.
Yeah, but no, Gabriel really did play well. today, and Xhaka today, who was my man of the match, I think he, that is the Xhaka that I thought we was going to buy. You know, he was, his distribution today was phenomenal. He absolutely was really good, and he didn't get booked. You know, who bloody knew? Like, so
he tried his hardest to get booked, though, didn't he? I think right near the end of the second half, he could have got booked for that.
Yeah,
did he take somebody out?
But that's, for me, you know, he's played well today. He didn't get booked. His distribution for me was brilliantly. He controlled the midfield. So the team today was a very good team. I think El Nene was probably put in to combat West Ham's midfield, because West Ham's midfield will just come upon you. And what West Ham, what El Nene does, he just slows things down or quickens them up when he needs to. He can control the pace as well. And that's why I thought he was brought into the team.
I think he did a good job. He needs to. I don't know what he was thinking when, well, I think it was Ozil crossed the ball to him and he decided, I'll have a shot. Nearly killed someone in Rose again. He's done it once. It's not going to happen again, son. Just like Coquelin, do not shoot. You're there to pass and tackle. That's all we want to see from you. But I'm just looking at the stats from the game. We had 66% possession, which is pretty good. And we had 21 shots and compared to their 7. And we had 8 shots on target. 7 off a target and 6 were blocked. And it says here, Martinez blocked 1 shot. So you were right. He didn't really have to do much, but it still made him look pretty good. We had an 87% pass success rate, won 15 aerials. Tackles, they beat us 16, 13. But there again, most of their tackles, they should have been booked for, because that was a fucking disgrace. We had 5 corners, of which we did fuck all from 4 of them, or 4.5 of them. We were dispossessed 13 times. I'm not sure what to read into that stat. I'm not even sure how that stat works. Well, that stat will have to be ignored, because I don't know what it means. I've done the 2 changes. Here we go. The penalty, the Theo Walcott penalty. What do you think is a penalty?
Yes. Martin Atkinson, for me, had a bad game. And I hate criticising referees, because if you need to take the referee's decision out of his hands. If you play your game, the referee shouldn't have to make any decisions. But today, I thought he was atrocious. I really, really do. There were countless decisions that he made that were wrong. And not just, oh, maybe, you know, he had a looking at it. No. They were absolutely wrong. And how you can say that Theo Walcott was not a penalty? It was just ridiculous. You know, what is he? These guys are professional referees. They get paid to be a referee as well. So these guys, it's what we do for a living. Now, if you get all these decisions wrong, how can you week after week still do your job? I just think it was really bad. And that really was a penalty. And, you know, hopefully you look back at it. But at the end of the day, what's looking back at it going to do? You know, he's not going
to miserable.
Yeah, he's not going to subsequently come back and think, oh yeah, you know, it was a penalty, we're going to give it, because the game can't be replayed. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's lucky we got the win, but if we didn't get the win and it hinged on that decision, then, you know, it's not very good.
Well, someone in the chat box, 73-295, I think that means he's born on the 73rd of February, says Martinez saved 2 in the second half alone. See, that's why I wasn't sure whether it counts as if he blocks it within the area of the goal, does that count as a save or a block? And then if he saves it and it goes out somewhere, or it's on the edge of the area or wherever it was, I don't know how that shit works, so we'll just make it up. So let them get on with it. Yeah, but the Theo thing, not only was it, it wasn't even close, was it? It wasn't like he just barely touched him. He fouled him and then he jumped on him. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't hold him down for a 3 count, because that would have been the next step. And then Wenger could have come running on, all dressed in spandex with a yellow chicken hat or whatever it is he wears. I don't know what he's his WWF fantasy thing. It is WWF, fuck the pandas. So, yeah, definitely a penalty. I mean, we should have had more penalties during the game anyway. So, I'm going through these at some pace, because Carl has to go to bed. So he's got to be up for about 2 a.m. or something stupid, because he gets you lot to work, and you lot should be grateful for that, shouldn't they, Carl?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Something that's been worrying me for the last few games, Bellerin's pace. Now, in the middle of the second half, coming down the left-hand side as we're watching it on TV, one of the West Ham players got the ball and he looked a bit nippy. Most of their players, if you're going to play wide, you are going to be a little bit nippy. Now, I'm not sure at what point Bellerin realised he had to run after him, but if you're close enough to go and grab someone's shirt, then you should be able to be close enough to catch up with him. Now, Bellerin's meant to be one of the quickest humans alive in the Premier League, isn't he? So he grabbed the bloke, back of the bloke's shirt, gave it a good tug, then pulled him down, then got booked. Are you worried about Bellerin's pace? Is there something up? Is he, because he's gone full Last Samurai, do you think that slowed him down?
There's something wrong with him.
Forgot to breathe.
There is definitely something wrong with him. He's not playing as well as he did at the beginning of the season or even to the end of last season. He's lost a yard, and it's really evident if you look at it. It really is, because he's getting beaten by average players, and you're thinking to yourself, like you said, he's meant to be one of the fastest players in the Premier League, and people who are not that quick are beating him for pace. Now, one of his greatest attributes is his pace. You know, look, I just remember back to that challenge against Chelsea when he ran back when I think it was Pedro that was in on goal, and he slide tackled him, and that was Bellerin all over. That was absolutely brilliant.
Mm.
But lately, he's, I don't know if he's injured. I don't know if, the hair growth is holding him back. I have no idea, but something, the worst thing is, we say something needs to be done, but what? You know, you can't, how do you get your pace back? If he's not
fully,
if he's not fully fit, then at the end of the day, we can't rest him, because at the moment, we're at the quote unquote crucial point of the season. And if he gets injured, you're looking at playing, what, Gabriel right back? And at the moment, we have Cos injured, so Gabriel's having to fill in there. So unfortunately, we're going to have to do with him playing that right back. And if he remains fit, he'll be playing every single game for the remainder of the season.
For the rest of his life. Apparently that number, 73295, is the record attendance at Highbury. And I think it wasn't even Arsenal playing now. I think it was Man City were playing in the FA Cup semi-final. I don't know. Don't shoot me if I'm wrong. Someone else has put here, where was it? Jimmy Fitzgard has put, Bellerin has gone full Bentner. I mean, we all know you never go full Bentner. Even worse, Danny. So that's Bentner has actually fucked off, and he is now playing in Norway for Rosenborg, and he scored on his league debut. It was his first start. He did play in, I think, the Norwegian Charity Shield, which he came on as a substitute. But yeah, he's one game, one goal. Bentner's back, people. Wenger's going to put in a £50 million bid for him. So yeah, I think the thing with Bellerin, it might be, people are here are saying about his Spanish DNA, his Barca DNA. I think it could be, you know, like when Wolverine starts to do all that stuff and he heals himself. I think Bellerin, his Barca DNA is starting to evolve through him. And we all know, being a defender in Spain, you don't need to be able to run fast. So he's just shedding all you need is long hair, a tan, and wanky tattoos. So he's almost there. That's what he's going through transformation. Oh, I don't know, like a butterfly from a caterpillar to a butterfly, but he's going the other way around.
He's not doing very well. I'm not saying he's not doing very well. He's not playing to,
it's not the Bellerin we all know and love.
Yeah, as good as we know he could do.
And now my my whoscored.com page has done something stupid, so I can't look at the ratings. So I'm just gonna go back to it and have a look at it. Right, here we go, it's loading up again. What rating? Bellerin got a 7.3 rating. Marty, I think this site uses the Opta rating. So Martinez got a 7.2, Monreal got a 7. Gabriel, like you were saying, had a good game, he got an 8. Mustafi got a 7.5, Bellerin 7.3. Xhaka an 8.2. You also pointed that out, almost as if you were watching the game. El Neni got a 7. Well, it's hard for him when you come in and you're a bit part player. Ozil, man of the match, 9.2, a goal and an assist. Should we talk about his magnificent performance today compared to how he has been lately? But this does mean now he's got a 9.2, man of the match, goal and an assist. He's going to be shit for the next three games. He's going to get an average of 6.2 and just wander around like a lost sheep. What was your thought on how well Ozil played today?
I thought he played very well today. This is the Ozil that we know and love. This is the Ozil that we want to see game after game. I'm not expecting him to score every single game, but his main attribute is assisting. And this is what I want to see from him. And I thought today he was really good. He was a bit petulant. As you know, when he gets fouled, he doesn't like to sort of run up and run after the ball. He does do the old stay on the floor, fix your socks, get up slowly and then walk back. This is what he does. But today,
it does the Ospina.
Yeah.
Time doing everything.
But today he was up and down. He was sort of on the left, on the right, in the middle, in the box. And that's what I want to see. I want to see him up in the box or sort of with the main striker. And today he done well. He done well today. And like I said, this is the Ozil that we love. And this is the Ozil that we want to see all the time. And whether he stays or not next season, he won't stay. But, you know, it's still time to try and fix that. this is the reason why we need a player like him. Or there are not many, very many Mesut Ozils in world football. Hardly any. I can't think of any.
It's not we're going to get our hands on anytime soon.
Yeah, and if you are, you're looking to pay stupid amounts of money for them, and it's money that more than likely we are not going to pay. So for me, the best, our best hope is to hold on to Mesut Ozil. I honestly don't think we will. I do think both him and Alexis will leave, but that's a story for another time. But today it showed why, you know, we paid $42 million for him and why he's sort of a fan's favourite.
Yeah, got people here saying, Corey, afternoon, Corey, morning, I don't know what time it is in Canada. He's probably honking along some motorway in Canada with a lorry load. Well, actually, Corey, you can put in there, what have you been driving around today? I saw some of the pictures that you tweeted. He says it's a chrysalis stage. That was it. What else? Someone else said something on it. Yeah, people are saying that Ozil didn't have a great first half. He was wandering around about like a bit of a loose tit at times, wasn't he? But I think
the whole team didn't have a good first half. And I think whatever Arsene said to them at halftime sparked them into life.
Do you think it was also a little bit West Ham were up for the game in the first half a little bit more? I thought it was odd for the May, though. The only thing they've got against us, against many teams, is Andy Carroll. You put Andy Carroll up front, you lob the ball to him, and they're playing him on the right-hand side. So I think that affected it. So West Ham just did not look up for the game, did they? I mean, that goalkeeper I don't rate. And normally Slaven Bilic is on the touchline shouting and screaming. The rest of he wasn't today. A lot of the time, he just spent sat on his arse, taking a piss out of Wenger, sat there doing no emotions or anything. In fact, the only time he did is I remember him in the second half when one of our players come over right in front of him and we got the ball. And when as our player kicked the ball, Bilic's right leg moved at the same time as if he was kicking the ball with him. And I thought, oh, he is human after all, the madman. I'm going to lose out where we were. I'll see if they've replied to any of my points that I've made. So Ozil was allowed to flourish. For me, Ozil is, this is Joe Madeira saying, for me, Ozil is class. Xhaka was solid behind him today, so Ozil was allowed to flourish. K-E-G-E says, enjoying the show, Danny. Ah, the Offspring was meant to be in there tonight. She's down in, she's gone down to Broadchurch. I'm going to see if she can get herself murdered or somewhere down there. She's not far from Chris. I think she's in Devon, maybe. No, it's Broadchurch in Devon. See, I'm going off point again. Shut up, get on with it. Pendust says, Ozil is not Arsenal quality. Well, that depends on how you define Arsenal quality. Do you think he's exactly Arsenal quality?
What is Arsenal quality? We haven't been playing the Arsenal way lately. And, you know,
that'll take an hour.
Exactly. Only beating two non-league teams in our last 9 games. Is that Arsenal quality? You know?
We had an update from Corey. He says he's waiting in Calgary, heading for the highway through hell. I'm not sure what that is, but it's going to be cold. It's going to be snowing. He'll probably be tweeting pictures. So I've liked a couple of his pictures today. So you go and have a look at my timeline. You see me liking pictures of Corey's stuff. Take some great pictures. Right, next bit I'm going to move on to. West Ham's late tackles. Jesus, this was really beginning to annoy me. There was the tackle for Theo's penalty that should have been a penalty that wasn't given. And then there was another couple of crunching tackles. I mean, how many times today did Sanchez get kicked? I think that was maybe something West Ham were doing. Some teams know that if they come at us and they start kicking us and they don't let us have the ball and they start shoving us around, then that stops us from playing. So I think West Ham definitely did that first half. And what was your thoughts on the number of bookings? I'm just going to look here. Oh, in that entire game, fouls. Does it say? It doesn't say fouls. Maybe Soccer Waste will have fouls. No, no one seems to give a shit about how many fouls there were. Oh, here we go. West Ham had 5 fouls, according to Soccer Waste said they had 5 fouls. Bullshit.
No,
5 fouls. No, they had 2 bookings for the entire game. Jesus.
Again, it goes back to the referee that he was letting so many things go. You know, I remember the challenge on Ozil right by the box. Right by the box, and he never called it a foul. And it's just the referee. I hate talking about the referee because the referee shouldn't be the main focus of the game. But he was giving West Ham leeway to kick us, and it's a problem. Is when you don't stamp it out straight away, then it gives another team impetus to, oh well, we can get away with it. And it's what teams like West Ham do. They target players like Ozil and players like Sanchez, our talisman, to say the least, because if you injure them or, you know, in olden days, put a reducer on them, it stops them playing. Now, football's moved on. You can't do those sort of things anymore. You know, back in the day, you could say, oh, yeah, put a reducer on him and it will stop him playing. No, football's moved on. It's more about technical ability rather than brute strength. And again, I hate saying this, but the referee was just poor today. He was absolutely poor today, just letting West Ham get away with foul after foul after foul. That's not good.
Like Captain Wow the Second, superb name, says, do fouls on Nacho Monreal not count? Fucking hell. I mean, there was one that should have... we are moving around a little bit on this because I've my thumb is stuck on the piece of paper. I might be chewing gum on it, so I can't see what's underneath my fat thumb. But in, but in the second half, Monreal, he was hacked down. He not only he stamped on his foot, he then wrapped his legs around him and then pulled him down, for fuck's sake. It was ridiculous. I mean, like you were saying, it shouldn't be about the referees. The referees should be... If you don't see the referee in the game and people go after the game, who was the referee? You go, I don't know. It means he had a great game. Everyone knows it. Was it Martin Atkinson was refereeing today? Absolute fucking sack of shit. Someone else has put a point in here. Have a think about the tackles if you want while I read this bit out. K-Man says, Wenger's 450th victory tonight. He's staying for his 500th. Jesus. Yeah, so what was... and Pender says, 11 fouls by Arsenal, 5 fouls by West Ham. He must be looking at the same site as me because that is maybe that's only the ones the referee recognised. I reckon it could be about 15, 20 fouls for West Ham. Do you agree?
No, definitely. I'm not saying that every contact is a foul. It's not. You know, at the end of the day, it's a man's fault. But sometimes you have to look at the context. And when you don't get the ball and you hack the man instead, that is a foul. Now, plain and simple, if you play the man and not the ball, or you go to lunge for the ball and you miss the ball and get the man, it's a foul, regardless of intent or whatever you want to say. That doesn't mean anything. But today, like you said, like, it shouldn't be about the referee, and I hate talking about the referee, but he was bad today, and simple fouls. He was missing and he wasn't getting them. This is what kind of upsets Arsenal, and this when you see Arsene standing up and talking to the fourth official as well, asking the question that, and then it looks at, and then it always happens that when Arsene gets and talks to the fourth official, straight away the camera goes on him. It doesn't happen to any other manager, but when Arsene gets up and talks to the fourth official, the camera goes on him, so it makes it seem like Arsene's moaning. Well, he's just asking the simple question that, why is that not a foul?
Yeah, he's perfectly allowed to. You made that point earlier, what is Arsenal's style? There you go. Kartik has said, sorry, but the Arsenal identity has been lost. Wenger created that and has destroyed it too. In terms of the style of play, strength and mental determination, we just haven't got it right. He's got a point, hasn't he? I'm not sure that Wenger's destroyed it, but at times I get the feeling that people don't know what we're doing, whether we're going to be passing, whether we're going to get stuck in a little bit, whether we're going to be playing wide. I suppose we should talk about the... Theo scored another goal. That's I think that's 2 games in a row he scored now. Taken off again for both games, which I find really annoying. I asked them on Askcast why they did that, and Andrew, and I think it's, is it James that does it with him? They said Wenger does it to piss me off, to fuck with me. So I knew they would do it. I knew Wenger was doing that. He's just been mean to me. But yeah, Theo, he wasted a couple of chances in the last game. I thought in the last game he had a really good one where he didn't have a moment to think. He turned and almost volleyed it and he hit the top of the bar. But today he annoyed Ozil because he got the ball, and rather than giving it to Ozil, who was roughly the left-hand side of the centre of the penalty spot, he decided to have a shot on himself. And in that situation, I don't know if I can really blame Theo for having a pot shot, but it went up and bananaed and it went into the crowd again. Do you think Theo should have maybe passed that, or what's your thoughts on it?
Theo's one of them players that annoy the fuck out of me. He really does. Because Theo's either very good or he's very bad. There's no in between with Theo. There's no in between. On his days, very, very good. On his days, very, very bad. Today, he had one of his, I would say, good days. Anytime that a player scores, you know, you want to think about the other stuff that they've done. And I thought his passing today was a bit odd. There were some decisions that he was meant to pass to, like that one you talked about, and he didn't pass, or I think just made the wrong decision. I think that's what happens with Theo. He makes the wrong decisions. And, you know, people say he hasn't got a footballing brain, but sometimes you have to look at some of his performances and think, well, maybe they're actually right. But for me, how do you be a player who's played 100 games and got England caps if you don't have a footballing brain? Because he hasn't got the best ability in the world. I'm not saying he's rubbish, because he's far from rubbish, but he hasn't got the best ability in the world. But you can't not have a footballing brain and have that many caps for England and that many games for Arsenal and that many goals.
47 caps for England, 8 goals. Yeah, how many players have gone through history that have had bugger all caps and they've been brilliant players?
Exactly. Or not as many as them. I think of, if you think sort of way back in the 90s, you think of Robbie Fowler, Andy Cole. You know, those players would have walked into the England squad now, but they didn't. They had brilliant ability, but couldn't get into the squad. So, but Theo Walker has been there. Theo Walker is there. So, like I said, he really does annoy me to an extent where I want him to be better. I don't want Theo Walker to be bad. I want him to go out and play, have a run of consistent games where you're actually really, really good. But he divides opinion. But if he keeps getting goals, you know, I don't mind if he's shitting all games, but as long as he keeps scoring and we keep winning, Theo, just do your thing.
Well, he's got 4 in his last 5 games for us. And according to Wikipedia, I'm not sure at what point this has been updated, because I regularly tweet stuff from here and find out they've not updated. It says he's got 18 in 31, which is a magnificent return, considering he's in the League Cup, he didn't play. You know, he's not played any League Cup games, which is where he used to. I mean, that season, his best ever season, he got 21 goals, but that was 5 in the League Cup in 2 games. Most, I think they were all against, or most of us were against Reading in the 7-5. But with 18 goals, that is now his second best season ever, behind that one where he had 21. So to equal the 21, he's obviously to get 3 goals. I'm not going to tell people how to count, but 18 plus 3 is 21. And he's played 12 extra games than he has now. So if he gets less, if he gets 3 goals in less than 12 games, then this is his best season ever. So yeah, good on the bloke. It's good to see Theo do well. I've got a lot of time for Theo. I get really, really annoyed with him. Last season, I wanted him to go. But this season, I definitely want him to stay and carry on playing. And I'm not sure whether I want him playing out wide. It is weird how for years he's saying, I want to be a striker, I want to be a striker. And then as soon as he gets up being a striker and fails, he goes, I want to play on the wing. I just don't think he wants to go. Stefan, cheeky Stefan, has made a couple of good points. He says, our style is to bore the opposition into a false sense of security. And he also says, lovely finish from Theo. And then Robert Fowler, talking about people called Fowler, he said, Walcott is a shit Aaron Lennon. Oh dear. Marble Halls TV is, oh god, I got an itchy nose, I shouldn't pick it, people can see. Theo has got more than 20 goals this season. He shouldn't get stick for this season. He hasn't got more than, well, there, I don't know. I've got long nostril hairs and I've got long moustache hairs and they're tickling the underneath my nose. I haven't got bogeys, honestly. Let's see what else people are putting. Fly KJ says we will get 4th. The football owl, twit to woo, Wenger in, lol. Pendo has been really busy messaging lots of stuff. Took him 11 years to do that, but we allow for him for injuries. Yeah, that's true, we do. I think we should move on to another point that I've wrote down. Corners. How many times, I mean, I'm just thinking of those 2 corners we had in the second half. One of them, I mean, the first half, one of them we took really quickly. And I just had a cup of coffee before I came on, and now it's wanting to come back again. Oh, palm moop. Yeah, so we had a corner from the left-hand side. And then it was Sanchez took it really quickly. And then it turned to shit. And then we, and a little while after, we had one on the right-hand side as it came in from where we were watching it on TV. And I thought, here we go, we're going to fuck this up. We've got nobody decent taking corners anymore. Come all the way over. The only 3 players to get near are West Ham defenders, and they all headed it away. What's going on with corners? Didn't we almost have this sorted at the beginning of the season where we were making the most of corners, and now we're doing shit with them again? Fuck all with them again. But that's because I don't remember us scoring from any of the corners that we took today. I don't think we did we?
No, but Danny, when have we ever been good at corners?
That would have been Steve Williams in 1986-87 season.
We have been shit at corners for as long as I can remember, and I'm talking at least 5 years. We have been really, really bad at corners. I know we scored from a corner against Man City.
Yeah.
But apart from that, we've always been bad at corners. It's something that that's always been associated with Arsenal.
But what is an acceptable ratio of, we scored against Man City, that means we scored from 1 corner in 2 games. Now, what would be an acceptable ratio? The fact that we look back and go, well, that's all we've done all season? Apart from maybe the beginning of the season, it was all right?
As you know, Danny, you can make any stat look good in your favour. You know, it makes no difference. But for me, the amount of corners that we get, because we are an attacking team and we get a hell of a lot of corners. I think we must average at, what, 4 or 5 corners every game?
I think we've got 5 this one. They had none.
Yeah, so we must average about 5 corners every game. For me, you've got, and even getting a header on target, we don't even do that. Because how many times have last season was Santi taking corners and we couldn't beat the first man? Every time Santi took a corner, it got to the first man. It got to a point where what we were starting to do was put Mertesacker on the near post to get the flick on, because for some other reason we just couldn't beat the first man. And then we started to, I remember Ox taking a few corners and whipping them deep, and that's what we kind of needed. I mean, you've
got to be threatening. Even if we don't score from them, if they're threatening, then that's good enough for me.
But we're a small team, and that's the problem. You know, none of our, I think, very few.
You mean
stature-wise,
not the actual club?
Yeah, that's stature-wise.
We're not for the other team from North London that are a small club.
they are a small club. Yeah. But very few of our players are 6 foot and over. Very, very few. So, but then at the end of the day, we've got a 6'7" defender who we used to put into the box all the time and still didn't get his head onto the ball. I mean, how many actual headed goals has Mertesacker got? And he's 6'7". He can out-jump anybody. But for some reason, it just didn't happen. So, you know, something needs to happen with our corners. It definitely does. But who's going to do that? Apparently, Arsene Wenger doesn't do defending training. So, you know, so I don't think set pieces is high on his agenda.
Got a couple of good points here. Mr. Unpronounceable, who is Rama to his mates. I remember someone trying to pronounce it. We're doing the live show that he did last week. He has put, the level of mismanagement is clear. With the team we have multiple players for every position, and instead of pushing the players to improve their performance, our players have gone back. He has got a point there, hasn't he?
Do you think?
Well, I don't think I said this is the best squad we've had in many, many years, maybe 7 or 8 years. Best squad, not necessarily the best players. We have got decent players completing for every position. And you would think that when someone like Gibbs gets a chance, when Monreal is out, Gibbs would play his arse off to make sure that he comes in and gets another game, and he doesn't. And then when we get, I mean, Gabriel played well today, which is good to see, but he'll have one good game, and the next two or three games will be shit if Koz isn't back again.
Yeah.
Mustafi has been rubbish since he... No, I'll change that. Mustafi hasn't been the player he was in the first half of the season after he came back from his injury. And it seems that, that he has dropped Iwobi, which is good. Hopefully Iwobi will see that and then come back and play better. But that just means, and that's a whole other discussion topic, talking about who should play on the left-hand side. Should we talk about that? How wasted Sanchez is on the left-hand side?
Yes, he is wasted. But at the end of the day, who else do you play there? Iwobi is not...
That's where Welbeck played for Man United at times, wasn't he?
Yeah,
that's why he won. Hey?
Is Welbeck fit enough to play on the left, going up and down that wing?
I don't think Welbeck is, because he doesn't seem to have the pace. Which I was watching Man United against Everton from, I think, 2012 last night, and Welbeck had a hell of a game, and he was setting people up, and he scored a goal, and he got an assist. And I thought, that isn't the Welbeck we've got now. I know he's coming back from injury, but I've actually... If I get my fat fingers off of this. This season, he's played 3 games in a row for us in the Premier League, 240 minutes with... someone's at my window. I think they're asking me. I don't know. I think they've got to live... What number? Oh, number 10. Those flats over there, second one. It's the second flat. Number 10. Oh, all right, it is.
You can see how professional we are.
Oh, Jesus, my tooth looks terrible there. So this season, he's played 3 games in a row, 240 minutes, hasn't scored a goal. In total in the Premier League this season, 373 minutes and 1 goal. Last season, 4 goals in 578. And the season before that, he got 4 in 1,709. So he's averaging 9 goals in 30 games in the Premier League. That's not too bad, is it?
But could we do better?
It could be a lot better. But exactly. I think the point I was thinking about, if Sanchez was playing up front, how many goals was Sanchez getting? 30 games? Not all of those games that I say works out to be an average of 30 games over the last 3 seasons, not all of them would have been playing up front. A few of those would be playing wide. But if Sanchez would have played those 240 minutes in the last 3 games up front, I mean, end of the second half, Sanchez did go, end of the first half, about the 44th minute, Sanchez did swap and go and play through the middle. Yeah, for 240 minutes, if Sanchez would have played as the main striker for that length of time in the last 3 games, I reckon he'd at least got 2, maybe 3 goals. Welbeck has got none.
Most definitely, and I can understand why Arsenal's playing him up front, because he wants to try and play him back into form, try and get him a goal or to boost his confidence. He's been out for a long time, and that's why he's been very, very careful with him. You can tell, you know, he's come off every single game. He hasn't played the 90 minute. since he's come back from his injury, and it's brilliant. I think it's very well what he's doing with Welbeck. At the same time, Welbeck's not producing, he's not up to it, but at the end of the day, we've got to try and either play him into form or drop him. And I don't mind him playing against the likes of, you know, West Ham's, and we got Crystal Palace next.
I think we have got Crystal Palace coming up soon, and they'd won four in a row, but then they went 1-0 up tonight and collapsed. Our next game is away at Crystal Palace on Monday night game, and then the next one after that is away at Middlesbrough. So maybe if Welbeck plays in those two games, they're getting away at Palace, that's never easy, but Middlesbrough is shit, so expect Welbeck to score four against Middlesbrough.
Yeah, so I don't mind him playing against teams like that.
But the better the quality of the team, the better the quality striker we need up front.
Yeah, but going back to, he should play on the left. There is no one apart from, you're saying Welbeck, I don't think he's got it in him at the moment to go up and down that wing to get back to help Monreal, to get up front and support the striker. I don't think, and the only viable option at the moment is Sanchez, because he's the only person that's going to, you know, be like a Tasmanian devil, go up and down that wing. Iwobi doesn't like to chat back, doesn't do it. And that's the reason, I think, why he's been dropped, because finally Arsene Wenger has seen that he doesn't track back. And that's why people say that Monreal's been poor this season. It's not that Monreal's been poor this season, it's that he hasn't had the protection that he's used to having. So therefore, if you're being outnumbered 2-1, then you're going to look poor. If you don't stop the crosses all the time, you're going to look poor.
That's the problem. We said that Monreal was having with Iwobi this season, because Iwobi's inexperienced, but you're saying because it's Sanchez, because Sanchez is always off and around. Just looking at Arsenal report, they say that Perez has been out for 19 days with a non-specific thigh injury, and he should be back any day. Do you reckon there is rumours, isn't there? I mean, there are rumours, people just make them up for the sake of it, but there are rumours that Lucas hates Wenger and he's fallen out of him. But I think that could be the answer on the left-hand side. Lucas needs to play more games.
He does need to play more games. And actually, Chris ain't here. Fuck you, Chris. Lucas needs to play. And Chris doesn't hate Lucas, but Chris doesn't think Lucas is the saviour. And no one's saying he's a saviour, but when me and Chris have this debate, you can only play who you're put in front of. And Chris will say, I was only scored against small teams. Well, if you're only given chance against small teams, and every time you come on against a small team and you do well and you score, then try him in a big game. You don't know. But at the end of the day, we don't know what Arsene Wenger sees on the training pitch, which is, you know, the caveat to that. But every time Lucas has played, he's played well. I can't think of him coming on and having a bad game. So I would give him a chance.
He's also not selfish. That's the sign of someone like Iwobi, who will get the ball and he'll think, got to score a goal. Whereas you'll see that when Lucas was playing, Lucas was more than happy to, although he got a hat-trick in one game, to not go out there and try and score goals, to try and get an assist, pass people, help people out. And actually, our very own Mr. Welsh Justice has put in the chat box, great to see Ozil playing well tonight. Certainly is, Jace. We talked about that. That's really good. So I think that, yeah, you're right. I don't think Sanchez is going to get moved anytime soon. I mean, there's not even the point at the beginning of the season where the front three players would all be swapping around. They'll be like on the conveyor belt system. Sanchez is stuck out there the whole time. But there again, we say that I'm saying that I don't like Sanchez being out there, but that's how our second goal. The interplay between Sanchez and Ozil on that side was absolute. That was a thing of beauty, wasn't it?
Yeah, when them two click, they absolutely click. I think back to the Chelsea game at home when, you know, them
back
two...
when we were good.
They were on a different level. They were just brilliant together. So when they're together, you know, they are... When they click, you know, the duo is absolutely brilliant, which makes me sad about possibly one or both of them leaving in next summer.
Well, it does. There's lots of it again, as usual, with the talk can just be people looking for attention. But yeah, there are lots of people saying that that Sanchez wants to go. PSG and Chelsea were recently talked about in the papers. And Ozil was, people were saying that he wasn't playing because he wants to leave. And until he was guaranteed that he was allowed to leave in the summer, that he wasn't going to play again. I mean, well, I'm not even sure if that makes any kind of sense. I don't want either to leave, do you?
No, I genuinely do not want either of them to leave. But at the same time, players these days are mercenaries. And in the words of Mr. Walsh Justice himself, if they want to leave, fuck them. You know, at the end of the day, if they want to go, we can't, what's the point of holding players against their will? Because all that's going to happen is that they're going to go all William Gallas on us and just play, start playing shit. So if they want to go, let them go, allegedly. Sorry, allegedly. so if they want to go, let them go. And at the end of the day, it's about getting the highest price you can for them. I personally think that if Arsenal sell Sanchez to an English club, there's no way.
Over again.
Yeah, and there's no way in God's green earth that Arsene Wenger can stay. You cannot sell him to an English club. Even if you have to take a cut to sell him to someone abroad.
That was the whole thing with Van Persie, wasn't it? He was going to be going to Juventus for, we're going to let him go there cheaper than what he was going to go anywhere else.
Yeah, and then he said no.
Yeah, and he didn't. At least he didn't celebrate when he scored against them. And he only had one decent season. But that's all that Ferguson wanted. They knew you go out there, you get the best striker. If we'd have stayed at us that season, we'd have won the league that season. I'll read out a few of the things that people have put in here. Kyle Palmer, definitely a one-off, but shows how a strong mentality elevates players above their level. Definitely been underperforming for a few years now. Mentally, always a question. I'm not sure who he's talking about there. Probably all of our team. Richard Gunner for Life says Arsenal should have had two penalties. Yeah, the Walcott one, we agreed that was a penalty, and we both agreed the Monreal one.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Rama has put, he will constantly give you a 7-plus performances. I remember last season when Sanchez got injured, he played in his position and we won or drew those games. Who are we talking about? I'm only halfway down the chat. Oh, Jace has put Xhaka looked decent tonight as well. Bloody hell. Xhaka looks poor as cocky's crap. That's true. Does affect when one player is playing next to another one. Stefan says, does Ozil not like playing in the cold? Wasn't that the problem with Reyes? He hated the cold and he only ever played when it was warm, which over in this country is 3 days a year, whether you need it or not.
I was never a Reyes fan.
You weren't?
No, never. Never was a Reyes fan when he was there.
I thought he did all right, but it was a little bit lightweight for us. That was another one transfer that cost us big. Mm. We got the Beast, didn't we? We got Julio Batista on loan from Real Madrid for a season. I always liked the Beast. I think he was
a dickhead as well. No, the way he left. Remember the way he didn't leave, like really weirdly.
Batista.
Yeah, he didn't say that. He was only on loan, and then he was meant to buy him. He was like, I don't want to pay for Arsenal. I'm going back to Seville, I believe.
He did go back to Spain, and then he went to Italy. And then last I heard, he was playing back in Brazil again in their top league. Right, see if I've got any other points that could be worth talking about. I'm just going to have a look and see how long we've been going for. Bloody hell, we've milked 42 minutes out of this. We never would have thought it. Elneny shot, what the fuck? WTF, that's all I've put on there. I don't think that needs any explanation, does it?
No, yes, I'm wild.
Welbs and Sanchez swapped after 44 minutes. We've mentioned that. Second half, Ozil's goal. What do you think of the Ozil goal? I won't ruin it in case people haven't heard it. Tell them.
Wax
lyrical about it.
Thing of beauty was a little interplay on the left, on the right-hand side. And this is what you want Ozil to do. Literally looked up, opened his body up, curled it right into the far corner. Absolutely brilliant. If I'm honest with you, the goalkeeper should have saved it. Let's be honest.
Well, the goalkeeper is shit, though, isn't he?
If one of our goalkeepers had let that in, I would have been fuming. But fuck it. And the goal was brilliant. And that's what I want Ozil to do. That's what you know he can do. Open up his body, just look up and just hit the ball, a curling shot. It was Robert Pirès-esque. Like, he just gets the ball, looks up and curls it into the far corner.
Absolutely. He put it there. He placed it. There was no question. He knew where that was going. It's like one of his wonderful passes. He went, that's going in there. Get out of the way.
it was brilliant. And that's what we want Ozil to do. I'm not expecting to do it week in, week out, because it's impossible to perform to that high standard every week. But I want him to do a bit better than he's been doing lately.
73295 us, but car new needed solar panels, still class though. Oh, genius. Ozil goal, dodgy keeping. Yeah, Ozil has an excellent composure. Giroud's goal was better. the Giroud's goal was very similar. He, if you know someone is left-footed, which Giroud is, we were moaning, who was it we were playing against? And we know, oh, when we were playing against Bayern Munich, and we were saying, don't let Robin go on his left, because if he show him the left and let him go, he's going to go and he's going to score. That's what he did with Giroud, because Giroud's thing, he went, oh, well, their goalkeeper, Rudolph, is obviously blind in his left eye. What I'll do, I'll go to the left-hand side of him and I'll just put it in the bottom left-hand corner. It was almost the same sort of goal, wasn't it, Giroud's goal?
Yeah, Giroud's goal was... People calling him the French Lampard. Now, I'll be honest with you, I haven't been impressed with him this season. I know he's sort of had limited sort of chances this season, but for me, he hasn't done. I just don't think that Arsenal play to Olivier Giroud's strengths.
We've changed the way we play.
Yeah,
he's got five goals on the bench, though. That's not bad.
Yeah, but for me, you know, I'll be honest with you, I was waxing lyrical about him being the best plan B in the Premier League, and it come to a point where he was the best plan A, because he was, when we went through a run of scoring loads of goals, and then he just drops off. It's what strikers do, I guess. They have a run and they play very, very well, and then they start not to play so well. And Giroud was starting to get on that. You're not doing very well, Giroud. But you know, goals bring confidence to strikers, and you know, he opened up his body and just hit the ball. And for me, I was like, Giroud, well done. Give him a little round of applause, because you know there's not many people that can do that, and congratulations to him.
Yeah, the someone's put here, Jamie's put, yeah, he's shit, he's my own country's goalkeeper, Randolph for Ireland. Yeah, I knew that. There was a point I was going to make about Giroud. Yeah, well, you were saying we went, he scored like 12 goals in 14 games for his last season, or the one before that, and then he went 10 games and didn't score a single goal. That's Alan Shearer kind of quality for it when he was playing for England, where he didn't score for England for 2 years or something like that. If that was any other striker, that we wouldn't have put up with that. But Theo was out injured at the time. Welbeck was down to one leg or one knee, as he was at the time. So I don't think we had much chance. We just had much choice. We just had to keep going through with it. What else do I put here? Yeah, Welbeck, when he was through on goal, I think Ozil put the ball through to him, and then he was ran on, and then he tried to place it. Now, that's the kind of, like Giroud and Ozil, they both placed it. That's the wrong time to try and place the ball, try and gently put it in the back of the net. Welbeck should have smacked that ball really hard, and then at least then the goalkeeper wouldn't have been able to catch, well, theoretically, the goalkeeper might not have been able to grasp hold of it the way that he did, and then maybe he could have got a rebound, someone else could have come sliding in for the rebound. So, yeah, a bit of a shame about that, because I think Welbeck needs a goal. We've seen the upwards. Upwards one about how well it's made Theo play. He's upped his ability, his level, his confidence with that goal against Man City. And then he was straight away, he was there and didn't wait, and then turned around and had that shot that hit the bar. And then tonight he's had a couple of good shots. He scored a goal. And like you just said about Giroud, goals give them confidence, and then confidence gives them goals. It's a catch-22. We talked about the Sanchez-Ozil interplay, because I've wrote these in chronological order, but we haven't done it in chronological order. Theo, I think this is how I put it, that Theo tried to do another one as well. Yeah, so there you go. We've all talked about all the points. Any points that we haven't covered yet, Carl, that you want to talk about?
No, I mean, this is probably something for the podcast, but I think today was probably the opportunity to announce Arsene Wenger's thing. You know,
I've got Sky Sports News on and there's no announcement.
I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that it wasn't announced today after a little win. I genuinely, honestly thought that because we've won the game, I thought we'd, in his interview, a reporter would say, any update on your staying? And he'll probably say, yes, I am staying. Oh. So it wouldn't surprise me. But no, it hasn't come yet. So, you know, let's face it, he's going to stay, isn't he?
I very much doubt
he's going to leave. But at the end of the day, all we can do, I'm going to go with Chris Carpenter now. Back the manager, if he's here, what's the point? I mean, people can protest. If he doesn't do it respectfully, that's cool. But end of the day, support the team. We are here. We all support Arsenal. We are here. You know, Danny, you give up your time, and everyone from ABW gives up their precious time and skills to do a podcast like this, because we talk about a club that we love, a club that we love and we've loved for years.
And end of my time isn't precious. I sleep 12 hours a day and I still run out of stuff to do.
But at the end of the day, you still give up your time and you could be doing other things. And it's because of the love for this football club. Now, at the end of the day, what is the point of if he's going to announce on stage, yes, for the first probably couple of weeks, everyone's going to be, oh, blah, blah, I hate Arsenal, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but you ain't going to change it. You ain't going to get out of the club. So just enjoy the time that he's here. And if we win, we win. And if we lose, then, yeah, by all means, you can be annoyed. But at the end of the day, one thing that you should never give up is your support for this club.
And if he does stay, imagine the shits and giggles it's going to be on Twitter. Oh, like Jay says, oh, yeah. I like a different manager, but if he stays, it's worth it because all the people are going to go fucking mental. As if we're not a big enough laughing stock as it is at the moment. Right, people, if you want to put your questions in the chat box, I'm going to read through them. You keep an eye as well, Carl, see if there's any that you like the look of. Someone made a good point. Oh, Chris said, Elneny's shot was actually on target, but it was deflected. Well, there you go. That shows how much notice. I was watching it on the PC on a, I don't know what I was watching it on.
Say a stream. Say it because Chris doesn't like it. Yes, Chris, we was watching a stream,
technically,
Chris.
It wasn't a stream because it was... yeah, from a thing where you're allowed to watch it, like a kind of BT Sports app, but for something else. Rudy, who always makes good points, says, "Don't scroll down for fuck's sake." Now I've lost it. Oh, Rudy, it was about Giroud. Where's it gone? No, hold on. I'm going to scroll up and then see if I can find it. I've not even had any dinner. Oh, here we go. Giroud suffers a lot because we can't cross a ball for shit, neither pass it or get it behind the defence from our flanks to pull the ball back ahead of the goal where Giroud needs it. Now, that's a very good point. When he was at Montpellier and they won the title in his last season there, I think he scored 5 or 6 goals from headers that season. I think he got about 19 goals all out in total in Ligue 1.
Okay, but what I would say is that should we change our whole way we play for one player?
Only when we're 3-0 down and he comes on.
And this is my counter argument. People say that I hate Giroud. I don't. But at the end of the day, why should we change our whole style for one player? We shouldn't just play just to one player's strength. So for me, you know, I don't hate Giroud. I just don't think that he fits into our team. But if we needed a plan B option, then by all means, yes, he gives you that different option.
Well, as this is a football podcast, I can't agree 100%. I have to agree 110%. right, Jason's our very own Jason says, have you covered that cunt Atkinson? Yes. Yeah, yes, we have, Jace. He's fucking useless. Speaking of missed chances, Hector's half volley should have buried it from Penda.
Yes, I definitely agree. He should have scored that. He's got to. For me, if that's 0-0 and he misses that chance in the 90th minute, then I'm sorry, this is not good enough. Even if you're a defender and a right back, you should be putting that into the back of the net.
Göring, oh Jesus, can people just go and change their name to English names? Gary says, talk about Mustafi. I hadn't heard of Mustafi before he came to play for us. I'm not one of those people who goes, I've been watching him since he was playing for his school under sixes. No, never heard of him. I knew he played for Germany. I remember him playing at right back for Germany, playing a few games coming on as a substitute. I think he played for, may have started a game in the World Cup. So I remember him from there. If you'd have asked me what team he was playing for, I'd have had no idea. I'd have probably said a German team. I really rated him the beginning of the season, where you thought he was fantastic, and then when he come back, he was shit. But I think he's starting to get his game together recently. Do you?
Who?
Mustafi.
He hasn't been playing well the last couple of games. Mm. Let's be honest. I think the last 2-3 months he's not been very well.
But this week, I thought he's been all right.
We've not conceded
a goal today, and I think the ones we could concede against Man City, none of them were his fault. I'm going to say that. We're having no idea whether they were or not. It's just what I do.
I think Man City's second one, I think he could have done a bit better, but maybe I'm being a bit harsh. I think he could have done a bit better. But today, he had a very brilliant game, and I don't know if it's him having a good game or West Ham just being very poor. But no, I do think today, both our centre-backs, and even Gabriel, and this is me giving Gabriel praise, and I never thought I'd see the day that happening, but... today, you know, Mustafi done well, and hopefully you get back to the Mustafi at the beginning of the season.
Right, someone here, Rudy wants to know any news on Koscielny's injury. It says here on Arsenal Report, Achilles, 3 days, lost, unknown comeback date. While we're at it, check. Calf strain, 2 weeks, and Santi Cazorla, it says 4 weeks. Bullshit. And that's, it doesn't say anything about Sanogo. It doesn't say anything about Debuchy. I think he's gone back to New York to go back to the family pizza company, where he just gets people to come in and go, pretty pizza, but Debuchy. I don't know, that's, that went a bit wrong, didn't it? Because I'm reading at the same time.
What's wrong with Danny?
The lime cloud has put, Wenger going to piss off with his French accent. I'm staying. What the fuck does that even mean?
What? Come on.
Bio, Boy 10 Dio says, whoa, whoa, whoa. I can't support the current mess that is Arsenal. You speak for yourself. Self, damn self, Carl. I think Carl was speaking for himself. He's a big enough man to speak for himself and quite a few other people. Who is world-class currently in our... Oh, there you go. From... But I'm not going to read the first bit because you can't have two Y's next to each other. That's illogical. He says, who is world-class currently in our team? Well, I think we both agree Sanchez, didn't we?
Yes. On his day, Ozil is world-class. But at the end of the day, this is the caveat. On his day, when Ozil's good, he's very, very good. And when he's bad, he's not very good. But that they say, class is permanent and form is temporary. So what defines world class? If someone can explain to me what world class is, then we can go from there. Because you can look at any player and say, oh, yeah, he's world class. Oh, no, he's not. It's just a different, it's one difference of opinion. And if you can define world class, because for me, how many world-class players are there in this world?
You know, I think depending what league you play in, I mean, anybody could go to the La Liga and they'd look fantastic, or go to Ligue 1 and they'd look fantastic there.
Yeah.
Or they could go and and play in Chris's league with the Barbican Pirates. Jace has said, thought Sanchez wasn't up to his usual standards tonight. Him and Welbeck had a tough night at the office. I think they did. I think... it's hard for Sanchez playing out where there when we know that he wants to drift in and play as the main striker, and he's going to get in trouble for that. Marble Halls says, question for Danny and Cole. Choice between Spurs finishing above us or us beating Tottenham. Which one would you choose? So they can either finish above us or we can beat them. Or is it home or away?
We're away.
Oh, so they finish above us in the league and we beat them at their place. I'd quite like that.
What, to them to finish above us in the league?
Yeah, I don't care. I don't want to be top four, do I? I want to be out of Europe completely and then Vince stay on it and win the league next season.
No, I don't want it to be an Undertaker record, like 21-1. I want to always be above them. I don't think we will. I genuinely don't think we will this season, unfortunately. And I would love for us to go to Shite Hart Lane and beat them. I absolutely would love it. You know, just to rub their faces in it enough to us to celebrate on a pitch. You know, I know we wouldn't celebrate because it's only a win and they'll probably still be above us. What are they, like 12 points above us or something along them lines? I'm not too sure. But at the end of the day, anytime we beat that lot, I'm happy. You know, I can't stand them. They will always be the enemy to me. Forever, they will be our greatest rivals, hating them with a passion. So, yes, I'd always take beating them over anything.
Stefan has put, world-class is top 20 players in the world. And the Lime Cloud, world-class are game changers. Noma has put, La Liga is better than the Premier League. You've disappointed me there, Noma. Oscar, the definition of world-class is non-existent. That is hard. I mean, there again, you don't expect to have too many world-class players in existence at one time. We all know those two twats who play in Spain.
Yeah, they're people world-class as world-class. Definitely. Yeah, but
they wouldn't score 60 goals a season playing in the Premier League or playing in Italy, or they probably wouldn't. They'd probably get 80 a season in France, especially if they played for PSG. Penda says, if you had a dollar for every class comment, you'd out buy Kroenke. I think there might be a syntax error there. That doesn't make any sense. Mm. Rudy has put in reply to Lime Cloud, class are game changers, so Giroud is world class. There might be some more context to that. Jeffrey O'Hara, world class is subjective. End of story. Everyone has a different list in their own head. Now, that's a good answer.
That's why you can't answer the question, how many world-class players you've got, because my world-class might be different to your world-class.
Mm. Simon Jordan. Isn't that the bloke who used to own Crystal Palace?
I think so.
Oh, I think he's amazing. A really interesting bloke. A lot of people don't like him, but I do. He's like a Cockney Robbie Savage. I thought I thought Gabriel looked very good today. Neat and tidy, good on the ball. Not the most threatening game, but dealt with everything very well. I think he did. I think we agreed with that, didn't we, Carl? But then I said, it means he's going to have three or four shit games in a row now because he's incapable of sticking a run of games together. There again, if we've got Palace and Palace at home, that's not going to be an easy game. I think they'd won four games in a row. And that's not going to be an easy one. But then Middlesbrough. I wouldn't put it past Gabriel to get a hat-trick against Middlesbrough. 59 minutes. So we're going to wrap this up in a second. Let's read out a few more comments. TBS says, hello. Hello. Nicky Wilson is there. It says, Alexis to Spuds, fuck off Daily Mirror. Oh, Jason is deleting people's messages. Good. Yes. Bit of Welsh justice. Only one. We finally got some points. Oh, there you go. I think that's a very good point. Proud Gooner. World-class players for Arsenal, Koscielny, Sanchez and Ozil. I don't think Koscielny is. A lot of people would say we only sent it because we're Arsenal fans. I think he has the ability to do it on his day, but again, so do many players. Are we agreeing that it's only Ozil and Sanchez that are
the ability? I personally think it's only in our team. If you're looking at the broader context and looking at world-class as we all would think it is those two are the only two that have the ability to probably walk into 90% of the teams in the world. You know, there's not many people in the world that not many players in the world that would just walk into any team, but those two on their day have the ability to walk into absolutely almost any team. So I think if you're looking at that being the definition of world class, then yes, those two are world class.
Rama says only Sanchez. Oh, James is there. He says, oh, finally, a chance to with a PS4 on the internet. Damn it, Jace. I think he might be writing that with the PS4 controller, which is a pain in the ass. At least the PS4 does predictive text. You can go down and pick it. I think we should end this on a higher note while Jason is busy banning people. people, type in the box who's your favourite current Arsenal player. Carl, who's yours?
My favourite current Arsenal player would be... That's a good question, Danny.
Thank you. That's why I'm here.
It changes all the time, though. It changes constantly.
It certainly does.
So, currently, at the moment, I can't believe I'm saying this. It has to be Theo.
Well, there's no harm in that. Theo's a lovely human being. I bet he's a great hugger. Personally, I'm going to go with the Ox. He has got... Since he's been able to come through and play in the central midfield... I think he has shown himself to be the quality player that his old man always said he was going to be. Richard says Sanchez, only one says Sanchez, TBS Sanchez, AJC Martinez, always. Simon says Rambo, John says Iwobi, DK, oh, is that the DK? Bloody hell. Hello, DK. He says Iwobi and Gabriel.
We know Jason Davis's favourite player is obviously Cock.
Going to be Ramsey.
No, it's got to be Cock, isn't it? It's got to be Cock.
Mike says the Ox and Xhaka. Gunashai says Cause. The Lime Cloud, Ramsey being Ramsey. Nick Wilson says Stan Kroenke is my favourite player. Oh, no, he doesn't. He's just holding the ball to ransom. KE says Sanchez. Steph says, I never have a favourite player, not since Ray Parler. A certain Mr. Davis says Rambo, he is a Welshman. That's cheating. Rama says Ox has been trying well. And Giroud outside of Sanchez. K-Man says Mbappe. Bless you. James says Alexis. Kyle says says Nacho. And Path says Ox. Well, first of all, he put X. So that could be anybody. But now he's changed. He put an O in front of it. Neil says, wow, Theo. Boy says, Ashley Maitland-Niles.
Conservative.
Hey! I think that might have been why he said it. And Neil says, for me, the Ox too. Right, people, thank you very much for joining us. We have got this over and done within 1 minute and 4 seconds. No, 1 hour and 4 minutes, 1 minute and 4 seconds. Oh, yeah, God. I bet some people wish. Right, thank you very much for joining me tonight, Carl. It's been a pleasure. As usual, we agree on absolutely everything.
Because we're the smartest people in ABW, that's why.
Yeah, don't put that to a poll, for fuck's sake. Right, we will be back tomorrow. I will be hosting, because Gimli's internet is sorted. Sky, hurry up and get round here and fix it. Chris is he's working a million hours a week at the moment. Jason has been burning the ABW candle at both ends, so he's absolutely knackered. And so it's going to be me, Jeff Arsenal, and Lord Hillwood. And we were doing, the way I like to do podcasts is a Tuesday club style. No real order. Just go on there, have a chat about how we feel about the club at the moment, because there's so many talking points. So that this should be, actually, if you can listen to this on a SoundCloud, there's no point in me telling you when it's going to be on SoundCloud, because you're already listening to it on that or iTunes. But tomorrow's one should be up on by about midnight, because I'm home alone at the moment. The offspring has abandoned me. Is there anybody you'd like to say hello to, Carl, before we go?
Everyone. I want to say hello to absolutely everyone in the world.
Yes, that's a good way to do it. And I don't think there's anything else to add, apart from thank you very much for watching. This has been ABW Radio. Keep your glasses trendy and your beard strong. Or no, fuck, wrong podcast. Goodbye.
Au revoir.
I wake up every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. A heavy bass line is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip. Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Bonkers.
Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. A heavy bass line is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Yeah, man, in the floor now.
Back then.
Back then.
I wake up every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. A heavy bass line is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip. Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.